on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Welcome back to the final half hour of After Hours. One of the frequent guests on the show, not that frequent, but a regular guest on the show is my friend Michael Osaki, who is a sports memorabilia expert and a bright and interesting fellow. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing outstanding, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. Talk to me first about, we always check in with each other because I'm fascinated with the crazy prices that some sports memorabilia get. You recently attended a convention, did you not?
Yes, I did. Last week, it's the annual Sports Collectors Convention. It was in Cleveland. It's a five-day show. And people from all over the world attend, dealers, collectors, investors. It really is a fun 5 days.
Is it on any level exhausting for you, though?
It's absolutely exhausting. These are long, long days, not only long by being on your feet, standing on a concrete cement floor,
yeah,
but also waking up at 6, 7 a.m. and then the show goes from, let's say, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and then there's dinners, and then there's meetings and different events. So, like, it's like 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day.
Now, is the purpose of this, Mike Osaki, of the website, great website, baseballintheattic.com, do you go there to sell? Do you go there to network? Do you go there to buy? When you go, because you have such a vast collection, what are you there for, Mike?
Sure. I do not go there to buy and sell. Because I am a certified appraiser, I go there for lead generation. And then additionally, I'm the head appraiser for PSA, which is the world's largest third-party grader of sports collectibles. So I have some meetings and business to attend to at their booth as well.
So it's sort of just networking, kind of. It's you're showing your face at the convention. Most of the people there are buying and selling, or no?
Yes, absolutely. So what I do is completely different from what everyone else does. Everyone else is buying, selling, and trading.
And you're just standing. So give me a typical day. Give me a typical day at the sports convention. For you, a typical day.
Sure. So the doors will open at 9:30 in the morning, but before that, I usually have breakfast with someone who wants to connect with me because they're thinking about maybe having their collection appraised. So I'll do that from, let's say, 8 to 9, then drive over to the convention at 9:30, doors open, and I'm at my booth, and people will walk by, either old friends, but also people who don't know about me or know about my service, but maybe, unfortunately, they're getting divorced and they need an appraisal, or maybe they have a large collection that needs to be insured, and their insurance company is about to drop them because the values of the collection have gone up immensely, and the insurance company has been saying you need to have this appraised for the last 3 years, and they have not yet done it.
Mm.
So, in order for them to keep with their insurance carrier, they have to hire someone like myself.
Gotcha. Interesting. So you're really, in some level, you're being like a psychiatrist, too. Like, oh, I'm sorry, you're getting divorced, but I'll be happy to appraise your things. And you must be able to get a sense over 5 days about the sort of health and state of the sports memorabilia business, do you not? I mean, are people upbeat? Can you get a sense of the industry itself?
I'm glad that you brought that up because that actually is a big purpose of me being there. I have to talk to people, dealers, auction houses, ask them questions about different items or different markets, different mm-hmm. categories in sports, and they can kind of tell me what I think, or maybe I push them and I say, hey, what about this? And so when I leave the convention floor that Sunday evening, I'm better. I have a lot more knowledge by talking to hundreds and hundreds of important people in the hobby of what's been going on the last few months and where we're headed to in the next 6 to 12 months.
All right, I want you to tell me. I'm not in the business, so you can afford to tell me. Where's the sports? What is the state of the sports memorabilia business now, and what will it be like in a year, or 2 years, or 5 years? I think it's going to be all on the upswing. Yes.
Yes. So we're starting. So we've plateaued. So in the summer of 2021, we hit the peak market. And since 2021, we've kind of gone down. But mm-hmm. the last six to 12 months, we've flatlined, and we're starting to see some green shoots. We're starting to tick up. Prices are starting to tick up. People are becoming more bullish. And I think the bottom will be in, or maybe it already is in, once the Fed starts to cut interest rates, which may happen as soon as next month.
Right. Interesting. Is there any specific sport? You know, the Olympics is on now. Is there anything Olympic related? Because I'll tell you something, I never have heard, and I'm not, you know, a big consumer of it like you are, but of a piece of Olympic sports memorabilia. I've never, ever heard of it. There has to be some market for that. Is there?
There's a very strong market, but the demand base is not as big as trading cards. But
right.
I will tell you that right now, up for auction, and I think it ends in about 2 weeks, is Clyde Drexler's 1992 Dream Team Olympic medal, which is expected to sell for $1 million minimum.
$1 million for his? What year was that? I follow basketball a little. I can't remember what year they won the gold.
Sure. So it was 1992. That was the Dream Team with
everybody. Sure.
Michael Jordan,
sure.
Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And why is he selling it, do you know?
I'm not sure the background. I think, as with a lot of people his age, they're, you know, it's been over 30 years, and they want someone else to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Don't forget, people back in the day didn't get paid what athletes are paid today.
Yeah, of course. Correct. Exactly. So what do you think? What if I got you? What would you think if someone, how would you price? I've got to believe she's the most famous Olympian of our times. What do you think of Simone Biles? I don't know. What do they wear? An outfit or something? Like not a jersey, but an outfit. I have to believe that Simone Biles stuff would be very high priced. Yes, or does it take time?
Yes,
Mike.
So the answer is yes, and it all, you know, because she's participated in several Olympics.
Yeah,
it depends on what Olympics. For example, let's say she wore an outfit from XYZ Olympics, it would depend on if she did win an Olympic medal for the event. But long story short is definitely six figures for something like that.
Let me ask you another question. This is why I like talking to you so much. What do most athletes, certainly on that level, do they just take their material and store them somewhere for the future? Or, you know, I suppose years ago they would just throw stuff out. But now I think sports memorabilia has made everybody aware of the potential value of things that they might have thought of, you know, as, well, those are just my old shoes, I'm going to throw them away. Do they store them somewhere? Or is that something athletes do?
Yes, most people do store them somewhere. However, it's basically, it's just items that they throw in a box, and whether they put it in their basement or a storage facility, I've seen countless collections of athletes, former athletes, either dead or alive, and families, or even them. They just have everything in just boxes. It looks so unorganized. It's not stored correctly, and it's actually kind of sad.
Well, and they probably don't, if they're just throwing them in boxes, they probably aren't labeling them correctly for the purposes of later selling them either, are they? You know, like saying,
that's
this,
correct.
I wore this on wore this in Game 7 of the, you know, NBA playoffs. It's fascinating. You are ever fascinated with the life you lead, aren't you, Mike?
You know, I think I have the best job in the world. I really, really do, because every day is something different. I'm talking to different people. I'm learning about something. And, you know, I work 7 days a week, but it doesn't feel like work, Rick.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine. I want to talk to you about a certain Babe Ruth something, and about you've started, you're not the only one, but you've started a podcast, and I'm thinking just, I know many, many, many people who started podcasts, and I have to say, just on the face of it, I think yours would be more interesting than 90% of the people I know who have podcasts. So, Mike, if you could hang on, we'll get back to you in a couple minutes, okay?
Great, I look forward to it.
Thanks. Welcome back. We're talking with my friend Mike Osaki of the of baseballintheattic.com. If you don't know what that means, it means he's in the sports memorabilia business of sort of appraising all manner of sports memorabilia. And he's just, if you just were listening to him, he's talking about how what an interesting, because every day is different. You and I were talking, and we're sort of emailing each other about a Babe Ruth jersey that's up for auction now, and I was flabbergasted because it was, you know, I know who Babe Ruth was, and I know he's a sort of esteemed item for collectors. What's this? Is it a jersey?
Exactly. It's a jersey. It's the 1932 World Series. So when the Chicago Cubs played the New York Yankees in the 32 World Series, as some of the listeners may recall, in Game 3, when Babe Ruth was at bat, Charlie Root for the Cubs was pitching, Babe Ruth lifted his arm and signaled with his finger to center field,
as if
the next pitch he was going to hit a home run.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, that's exactly what the Babe did. He hit a home run. Now, that jersey from when he hit that home run that day is up for auction, and it's going to sell for a lot of money.
How long has it been up for auction? Like a few weeks?
The auction opened about 12 or 13 days ago.
Okay, and now how much, I'm sure you've taken a recent look at it. What's the top bid so far?
Right now, it's up to $16 million.
Now, that is like, I don't mean to laugh, Michael, because this is your business, but that seems outrageous to me. Does it seem so to you? I can't imagine, maybe I'm wrong, but has any other jersey of any kind ever sold for $16 million or more?
No, this is a record. So this is going to hold the world record for any piece of sports collectibles or sports memorabilia to ever sell a public auction.
Wow.
The estimate is $30 million, but right now, as it sits, it is a world record. And when that sells in a couple weeks, it's going to be in every single major news publication and TV, radio.
Oh, sure.
Across the world.
Wow. This is a strange question to ask, and if you don't want to answer it, that's okay. Is it worth $16 million?
I think it's worth more than $16 million. I really do. I think for a long time, game-used jerseys have been undervalued, and I have no idea who's going to win the jersey, but obviously it's going to be
someone with a lot of money. It's going to be someone with a lot of money.
Right.
You know, Elon Musk may buy it. Who knows? Who knows?
And that's
exciting for all of it's exciting. It seems exciting to me, for God's sake. But it's obviously of great excitement to all of you in the business, is it not?
It's huge. It's so exciting. I mean, even today, when I tell people what I do, they think I may live in like my mom's basement or something. But then when they see that sale that's going to sell for, let's say, 25 or 30 million bucks, they're probably going to call and email me. They're going to say, Michael, we had no idea that, like, stuff was selling. For, like, we had no I'm like, I've been telling you guys for the last 10 years that there's big money.
Yeah, I know. I believe you. I don't think you're, I know where you live, and it's a nice apartment filled with a lot of cool stuff. What do you do with all that stuff, Mike? I don't remember. Do you sell some or just keep it, or you have a lot of things?
Yeah, so I keep it because, you know, knock on wood, I'm still young, I'm still healthy, but
true.
when I retire, hopefully in let's say 3 decades, hopefully the stuff is worth a lot more than what it is today.
Yeah.
I don't know because I'm not a psychic, but, you know, because I am an expert in what I do, I do have a good eye for things that I think will go up. And so hopefully those things that I, you know, purchased many years ago will outperform the returns of like the S&P 500.
But it's also that you're right. That's a good theory. And, you know, in most cases, a lot of the things I saw, these things are meaningful to you. They're in the same way that, you know, I'll never forget that a friend of mine went to college his first year, and he went to the University of Illinois, and he's putting all his stuff in the room, and his roommate comes in. His roommate was a football player, and he looks at the stuff Roger has on the wall, and he has a number of books. And the guy says, what do you got all those books for? Are you supposed to read those? And Roger said, no, I've already read them. And he goes, what do you got them for? It's the same thing, I think, in the way people keep books. They're not always going to go back and read them. But I think some of the stuff you're keeping is just meaningful to you, and you like to see it. Isn't that true?
100% true. And you're right. It could be books. It could be trading cards or autographs. It also could be wine. There's people that have, you know, hundreds of bottles of wine that have no intention about ever drinking it.
Exactly. Now, you also have started, my friend, you've started a podcast, have you not?
I have. I just started it, and I'm probably like 5 years too late, but I'm really excited.
No, are you kidding? Everybody, a lot of people are starting podcasts because I frankly don't know why. But what is it? Tell me, where is it? Where can people find it? And why did you decide to start one?
Sure. So people can find it anywhere that they stream podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify. I started it because...
What's the name of it, though? How do they find it?
Oh, sure. The Sports Appraiser Podcast.
Oh, nice. Nice. Nice.
And, you know, I started it because over the years, a lot of people have asked me and even begged me, Michael, why don't you do a podcast because you're so interesting in the things you see and the people you meet. And I've always kind of been like, nah, I don't really have time for it.
No, you're always like, wait, I just talked to Rick Kogan about that. That's my thing. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so, you know what? I do think I have interesting stories to tell.
No question.
I think what I do is very different from some of the other content creators in the hobby who are very good at what they do, but let's say there's a breaking news story. All 55 of them will report on the same story. That's not what I'm going to do. It's just going to be very different, very interesting. Like, for example, I just recorded an episode on how to comp. How do I use comparables or not to appraise a one-of-one unique item that has never sold before?
Wow, that is interesting. Yeah.
And then I'm going to go through like my top 10 list of the most interesting collections I've ever appraised in the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm. How long is the podcast? How long do you plan the podcast to be? 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
It's going to be between 20 and 25 minutes.
Perfect.
Each week.
That's perfect. So tell me what the first one was about again, please.
So the first one is very generic. Who I am, what I do, why I started a podcast, and what you can anticipate moving forward.
That's great. Okay, what's your next one going to be?
And then the
you should do the Babe Ruth. You should do the Babe Ruth jersey thing.
You know, I've been thinking about it because that's obviously a huge, huge news story. And what I could do with that one also is just talk about the game used jersey market in general, because what a lot of people don't know, in the 50s and 60s, each baseball player was only given four jerseys each year.
Really?
Two home jerseys and two road jerseys. It didn't matter if the jersey got damaged. The clubhouse person would fix it up, stitch it up, and give it back to the athlete.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then at the end of the season, Rick, the jerseys had to go back to the club. The athletes were never allowed to keep the jersey. So, because of that, anytime you see an authentic jersey from a baseball player in the 50s and 60s at auction, that jersey slipped out the back of the truck or something and was sold for a lot of money. So,
wow.
For example, Sandy Koufax, 55 rookie season jersey, just sold for $1.8 million.
Oh, my God. Wow. Wow. That makes such sense, though. Now I'm sure that any professional ball player gets as many jerseys as they want. They just say, hey, give me another jersey. Yeah?
You're correct. In fact, listen, today a baseball player, if they want, can switch his jersey every half inning. Every half inning, if they want. So, think about that. There's nine innings in a game. It's crazy now.
Wow. Wow. And you know, you have to study all this stuff. That's pretty amazing. How's Michael Jordan's stuff still doing? Is it still doing well?
It's hot. Very, very well. I mean, he is the greatest of all time. And it's interesting about him. Not only is his stuff doing well, but the buyers of his are true collectors. They're not really investors looking to flip.
Wow.
Obviously, people are trying to hold his stuff for long-term price appreciation.
Yeah.
But some of the other Hall of Famers we see, you know, buy and sell. With Michael Jordan, no. People are buying and holding.
Oh, that's fascinating. Michael Osaki, it's always great to talk to you. Michael's website is baseballintheattic.com. Tell people your podcast again, the name of it.
The Sports Appraiser Podcast.
I'm assuming if you go to baseballintheattic.com, there will be a link to your podcast?
Yes.
Wonderful. Michael, it's always great to talk to you, pal, and you are ever enlightening for me. So continued success.
Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure. It's always great being on with you.
Good. It's real radio. Good luck with the podcast, though. Take care.
Thank you, Rick.